Well, it's good to be back with you again. It was roughly 6 months ago that I was here. I was just telling Karen a little bit earlier. The last time I was here on March 5, it was my birthday. And when we got done with the service here and sharing some good time with you, we went home later that afternoon and we moved out of our house. So that was a big day. Well, now it's a little over 6 months later, this past Wednesday, we moved back into our house, newly remodeled. But it's been a long and almost overwhelming week, but it's been a good week. And as Lou said, we had classes yesterday in Sunnyside, Washington, and the churches from Classes Columbia all gathered there, and we were encouraged as we heard stories of what God is doing in each of our churches. And so lots to be thankful for. This morning I want to share with you a passage from Matthew chapter 13. And this is one of those stories of Jesus that he tells to help encourage his disciples and his disciples down through the ages, because this is God's story for us this morning, to us, his disciples, living in 2017. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read verses 24 to 30, which is the story that's preceded by the parable of the sower. And then Jesus tells the story of the parable of the weeds. And then he tells another story about the mustard seed. And right after that, he kind of pulls back from the crowd and his disciples say, "Can you tell us what the story about the weeds really means?" And that's the second part that we're going to read, verses 36 to 43. So hear God's word as it's read today. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And now moving down to verse 36. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' Jesus answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him here. We're going to see if we can get this. There we go. The story that Jesus tells really answers the question that I'm posing by the theme of my message. Who pulls the weeds? And there's, I suppose you could say, a couple of different ways to look at this answer. But before we get to that, I think it's important to begin to see what the weeds around us really look like. I cannot help listening to this story of Jesus and remembering that I grew up on a farm. It was a vegetable farm. And so I know what it is to grow up with weeds. I was constantly surrounded by weeds. And I will tell you, as a kid, it was a problem. Here was the problem. My dad, along with his brother, who farmed together, they had about four or five boys who were of that age where they said, "Well, we know the answer to the question, who pulls the weeds? It's you." And so that's what we did. We spent many hours, many days weeding onions. If you know anything about onions, you're down on your hands and knees, and you're pulling from the time the onions are only about 4 or 5 inches tall. You're pulling weeds from the side and being very careful so that you don't pull the onions out. Hard, backbreaking work. Did a lot of it. Weeds were a problem. But so was pulling them. I also grew up on a vegetable farm where we grew a lot of potatoes. Now, the potatoes are the shorter crop that you see in the picture. The big, tall things, those are weeds. And we used to have to go and pull those out. Okay? Sometimes those weeds would get so large that we would literally take machetes and chop them off at the roots and get them out in order for the crop to grow. My dad and his brother had this philosophy about weeds. And it went something like this. Less chemicals plus more kids equals less weeds. And that's what we did. Sometimes we were told we had the cleanest crops in the valley. It wasn't because of the chemicals. It was because of the kids. It was hard work. But I'll have to tell you, you put 4 or 5 boys out in an 80, 100, or 120-acre field for a half a day, and we found that weeds actually became a distraction for fun. And we had a lot of it. That's kind of background to this story that Jesus tells, because Jesus tells a story of weeds growing up in the wheat field that has been planted, and there's some question about how the weeds got there and what you're going to do with it. Now, again, let's look at the context of the story that Jesus tells, because right before he tells the story of the sower who sows all kinds of seed. And part of the point of that story was that the seed that Jesus was sowing there in this story was the seed of his word. And that word was powerful to change lives. And yet, you know the story, I think, well enough that that seed was extremely vulnerable. Some of it was snatched away by the birds, some of it was burned by the sun, and some of it was choked out by the weeds. Powerful, but vulnerable. After the initial story of the weeds, Jesus then tells the story of the mustard seed. A very small, small seed, and yet powerful, that could grow large and pervasive. And part of the story, the point that Jesus was trying to make there, was that the kingdom of God is like that. It starts small. And it grows in subtle ways. But it will grow. You will count on that. The kingdom of God is going to grow and move throughout the world. And nothing is going to stop that. And yet that kingdom, the kingdom that you and I are a part of, that kingdom is still always being threatened. And now you begin to see the problem of the weeds. I love this story because when Jesus tells this story, he kind of answers one of those basic questions that people are still asking consistently today. If God is such a good God, and if God is a loving God, why is there evil in the world? And why doesn't God take care of it? Well, part of the answer to that question is this, and Jesus raises the question, what about the problem of evil? Who caused it? And it's very clear that neither God nor Jesus are the cause of the problem of evil in this world. And yet its presence we know to be very, very real. Read the news. Listen to the news. Go out and watch what's happening in our world, and you know that there is a presence of evil that continues to tear families apart, to break down communities, to pit nation against nation, seeing who is the most powerful and who can kill the other first. When Jesus tells the story, it sounds like an act of agricultural terrorism, where the enemy comes in and begins to plant evil seeds, weed seeds, in the garden. Because Jesus wants us to know that while this wonderful crop has been sown and the kingdom of God has been begun as Jesus came to this earth and has began to build his disciples around him and grow his church, that the devil was trying to undermine that any way he possibly could. And let's not forget the context, though. Because the sower of the previous parable is the one who's telling this story, and he says, you cannot root out the good seed. There will be a crop. You can count on it. So if Satan cannot remove the crop and destroy it, then he will try to subvert the power of the kingdom and those who live in it. You see, Satan's objective is to confuse in any and every way. And you can begin to understand why. Because when you look at the picture, you begin to understand that wheat and weeds look an awful lot alike, don't they? Which is the wheat and which is the weeds? They look an awful lot alike, don't they? The weeds there, which are known as darnel, look almost identical to what wheat looks like. And the only way that you can really tell in the end is by which one is going to produce a crop of wheat and which one is going to produce a crop of weed seeds. It's in the fruit and the end that you begin to see what is happening here. But that's exactly what the devil is trying to do as he introduces evil into this world, because sometimes evil looks good. but it's not from God, and its fruit will not, in fact, be honorable before God. The devil comes to undermine and destroy the world with what I would call a weapon of mass distraction. Think about it. If the devil can distract God's people from doing what they're supposed to do, and instead be so consumed by the evil that is around them and so concerned about it so that they're trying to get rid of it all the time, if that's their focus, then the devil has distracted us from the key focus that God has called us to be and to do, and that is to love God with absolutely everything that we are, heart, soul, mind, with our strength, with our will, with everything that we are. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we're distracted from that and so consumed by how do we get rid of the evil that's in the world, then the devil has been successful in accomplishing and confusing what our role is to be as Christians. And yet, we're kind of puzzled by Jesus' answer. First of all, we understand that the devil is behind the evil that may be in the world, but what should we do about it? Right? So any of you who have a garden, how many of you just let your garden go to weed? No, nobody, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And you see, that's part of the point of the parable. Leave the weeds? How are you going to do that? I mean, why would you leave the weeds? I thought the weeds were the things you were supposed to take out and keep the crop. Why do you want to leave the weeds? Well, Jesus is not giving us an agricultural lesson here, but he's using agriculture to give us a lesson in theology, a lesson of how do you live in the kingdom. And so Jesus is saying, take the weeds out of your garden, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, don't immediately think that it's your responsibility to root out all evil in any place that you can find it. Why does Jesus say that? It doesn't make agricultural sense, but it makes good sense in the kingdom of God. Why does Jesus say that? Because he cares about the wheat. He cares about believers such as you and I, and he wants them to be growing in the kingdom. He wants their focus not to be confused by what the devil wants us to pay attention to, but what he wants us to pay attention to, which is loving and serving him in every possible way, trusting that he knows what he's doing. Another way to put that is this. If the church tries to root out the evil that's in the world, guess who gets hurt? We do. We hurt each other. Jesus doesn't want us hurting each other. He wants us loving each other. When you say, well, of course we don't want to hurt each other. Oh, but we do. I want you to think back roughly a year ago. September 2016. What were we doing? We were getting ready for the next election. And there were a lot of people who had opinions about that, strong opinions. There were a lot of Christians who had very strong opinions about that. They did everything they could to root out what they thought was political evil, no matter which side of the aisle you were talking about. Did they accomplish what they wanted to do? I'll answer that for you. No, they did not. But I'll tell you one of the things that they did do deeply hurt each other. Christians. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Because the point of the story is not root out all evil. The point of the story is, where's your love ultimately focused? Is the energy of your life consumed by your devotion to Jesus, or is it doing something else? Jesus said, be careful that you don't pull out the weeds because you might uproot the wheat. In other words, it's possible that the wheat has very weak roots, and so that when you pull out the weeds, the wheat comes right along with it. That was a concern for Jesus. There was another concern that I can maybe illustrate the same way with weeding potatoes. Remember I said we used to weed potatoes, get those big weeds out of there, and we did that throughout the summer, but about middle, end of August, early September, there came a point in which we were told we can no longer weed the potatoes. Why not? Because as the potato vines began to die, getting ready for the harvest, and the weeds continued to grow, if you pulled out the roots of the weeds, it would expose the potatoes to the sunshine. And that's what you'd get. A potato that turns green. It's ready to start its growing cycle instead of to be harvested. So Jesus, in that sense, knew very well what he was talking about. You see, Jesus didn't trust us with the job and the responsibility of rooting out all evil. And the point of the parable is, we need to have that very same healthy distrust of ourselves. If you find someone who's a champion to root out the evil of this or that or the next thing, be very cautious. Be very cautious. Now, this doesn't mean that we cannot address the evils in the world. We certainly can. But it means it's not our responsibility to root them out. And be extremely careful on how you treat each other in the process. No, the parable says, and Jesus says this very clearly, he says, I will deal with the problem of evil. He has a plan, and he began to accomplish it on the cross. The power of the cross is so much larger than anything that you and I could administer to the problem of evil. And Jesus is saying to us, will you trust me to handle the problem of evil that I already see and the evil that I've already put limits on? Will you trust me with that? Will we trust Jesus to handle all the threats and the resistance that come against the kingdom of God? I'd like you to listen to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. This is what John says. John's on the island of Patmos, likely when he wrote this with this letter. In other words, he's already endured a great amount of evil, persecution, resistance to the kingdom. And this is John's word to us, which is the word from the Lord. He says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, Jesus has the problem of evil well under hand. The question is, will we trust him? And we can demonstrate that trust most clearly when we continue to grow in the purpose that God intends, a harvest of love that he longs to produce in our lives. And yet the other part of the parable says, this is the world that you and I have to grow up in. You may pride yourself in being a part of the wheat of God's kingdom, but you just need to know that the power of evil is always going to be there, always going to be a threat, always going to make you and I a bit more vulnerable. And how are we going to deal with that? How are we going to deal with the evil that Jesus talks about, the weeds in the parable? And there's two things that I want to call to your attention. Jesus says, number one, wait until the end. Did you hear that in the story? It was pretty clear. Wait until the end. Who's Jesus talking to? Well, he's talking to you and me as disciples. But he's also talking to himself. So the question is, Jesus can wait till the end of the age. Do we trust Jesus enough that he will, in fact, bring about the justice of his kingdom at the very end? Are we counting on that? Do we believe that so strongly that we are giving all of the energy of our love devoted to him? Jesus is clear in this story that he will decisively solve the problem of evil on Judgment Day. The justice of God will be administered like it's never been administered before. And so for you and I, we need that strength to resist the temptation, to take action into our own hands, and to correct every evil that we see every time we see it. You can imagine what Jesus was like moving around the countryside, living under the Roman rule. Okay, there would have been a lot of things that Jesus could have corrected, a lot of serious evil. You can imagine what John, living under some of the more extensive cruelties that was administered to Christians, you can imagine what he would have liked to have changed. And yet, both of them were in a position where they listened to the word of God, the word that Jesus sends in this story. And he pretty much says, let things be. Keep your focus on me, but when it comes to the worldwide problem of evil, let things be. And I explored that just a little bit further. Let them both grow together. Let them be. And I checked into the root word of that, and you know what that word actually means? It means forgive. That word that's used there, let them be, let them grow together, is the same word that's used in the Lord's Prayer for forgiveness. Lord, forgive our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Wow. And you see, that's the way Jesus lived. Jesus did not represent or defend or champion any program when he was here on earth, any system, any power. He was absolutely neutral from it. And because of that, because he knew he stood for the kingdom of God, he was equally suspected and disliked by representatives of all kinds, whether they be religious or political powers. They all had questions about Jesus because they didn't quite understand where he was coming from. And yet it's for that Jesus that we must patiently wait. It's the Jesus who says, remember the power of the cross to defeat all evils. This is our strength. This is our power. You see, you and I don't live, in spite of what we're sometimes told, you and I don't live to change the world in the sense of rooting out all evil. But what we do as representatives of Jesus is to make clear by our lives the reality of the victory that Jesus Christ has won on the cross, and also by his resurrection. You see, when Jesus lived on earth, he did this a simple approach to living. He enjoyed and he displayed the remarkable freedom that was his because he belonged to the kingdom of God. He lived with all the other systems. He didn't present any of the systems as opposed to them. He simply revealed the limits that all of them had. And he did that by demonstrating the freedom of the kingdom of God. So how can you and I patiently wait, living with the weeds, waiting for them to be taken care of? First of all, we must stand firm in Jesus. Jesus makes it very clear at the end of this parable that already our light is shining clear in him, and we need to let that light shine as consistently as possible. We do that probably best when we persistently love Jesus with a passion that also displays our love for others. And as we gather every single week, one of the main reasons that we do that is to deepen and strengthen our love for Jesus. So that when we go out into a week of working in God's kingdom, we can be faithful with the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Remember the story, who is it that overcomes the world? 1 John chapter 5, we read this again. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God has overcome the world. Living with the weeds, persistently loving, and constantly praying for reconciliation and peace. That's our approach as Christians. And Jesus wants us to keep that approach because he says, there is a harvest that's coming and I want you to participate in that harvest. A harvest that is going to be so plentiful that we will, in the end, see the wonderful work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, be encouraged to stay strong in your love for him. But also be encouraged that Jesus will take care of the problem of every evil in the world. And in that you can rest assured. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the blessing of being able to count ourselves your followers. Thank you for the blessing of being able to trust confidently that you alone will take care of the problem of evil in ways that we never could. And so protect your church, Lord Jesus. Protect it from each other, but protect us by your love. And so we offer ourselves once again to you in this week in faithful service, knowing that you'll go ahead of us. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. As we prepare to participate in communion, I'd like to just read two verses from John chapter 15 that remind us again of our close connection to Jesus and how it is that we keep our focus and continue to bear the fruit that he wants us to. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete.